but I'm untangling the cord.
I understand that now, but I didn't see that. I just suddenly saw you turning the microphone 360 degrees. I'm like, what did this accomplish? It's in the same place it was before.
The cord is in a different spot, though, okay? It was used to be tangled, and now it is free to do its cordly duties.
That's why we need Katie. Katie's here to keep us from working with each other.
That is probably true. We'll see how this podcast goes.
It's
going to
be great.
Hey, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning.
Forget what we're here for a
minute? No, I like that. I was thinking, is that good enough as an intro?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How you doing, Patrick?
And no Katie Phillips.
Oh.
Yeah, she's home taking care of a sick kid.
Yep.
I've been there on the podcast, so I get it.
Yeah, we want no part of it.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping your child at home.
Yes, and I don't want to get sick, so...
Nope. Keep it.
Keep all your germs away from us.
Right. Sanitize,
yeah.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, so if you are the Katie fan listener and you're like, you can just turn this off right now.
That's fine.
Yeah. She's not coming back.
We get it.
We'll see you next week. Yeah. It's no problem. But we hope to have some fine podcasting coming your way.
Oh, we will. Absolutely.
Yes. For sure.
The finest we have to offer.
The
this
finest,
week.
Yes. This will be the best podcast we record and release this week. That's
absolutely.
For sure.
This much is certain.
Are you excited? Super Bowl 2020. At time of release, though, it will be done.
Yeah. So go insert winner
yes.
here.
I knew it all along.
I can't believe the last play. Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm a Super Bowl fan. I'm a fan of sports and competition in general.
Sure.
So, yeah, I get excited for it. And, I'm excited that the Chiefs and the 49ers are two good teams. And they're two teams that we haven't seen in the Super Bowl for a while. So it's nice to get some variety in there. No offense to any Patriots fans out there, but I'm done watching Patriots in the Super Bowl. Kind of like I'm done watching the Yankees in the World Series all the
sure.
time. Because that's who was always there when I was growing up.
I think they haven't been there in the last 10 years, though. The Yankees.
The Yankees? Yeah, this was an example. This
sure,
is like,
sure, yeah. You bet.
Now I just have a general dislike for the Yankees out of my childhood experience.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care. I probably won't watch most of it, maybe a little.
Yeah. You don't strike me as a big Super Bowl guy.
I am not.
We have watched the past couple Super Bowls together.
That is true.
Because we've had youth events around
yes.
the Super Bowls, and you have always been one who is hanging out with people who are not
typically talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of us are like shushing you because we're trying to like hear what's yes. happening in the game. Yeah, so I'm not surprised that he will not be.
J-Lo and Shakira, I'm not super excited about
I get that. Yeah.
About this halftime show.
Yeah.
I've been more excited about past halftime shows. So.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I hear MC Hammer is going to make an appearance in a Cheetos commercial.
That is true. Potentially.
I would like to see MC Hammer make an appearance at the halftime show.
Maybe that could
throwback.
Be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, some of the prop bets are out there. This at time of listening, we'll know.
Yeah.
Is that maybe Will Smith will be there? It's in Miami.
Ooh,
he might sing
okay.
a Miami song.
Yeah, Bienvenido a Miami. Yeah.
Yes.
That takes me back to fourth grade.
Ricky Martin, Vida
sure.
Loca. So
sure.
Yes, J Lo and Shakira will bring a Spanish flair in there. So who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. So let's get to some
by
news.
By the time this is released, you will all know.
Or you won't care.
or you won't care. One of the either way, that's where we're at.
There we go, yeah. All right, so let's get to some news.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing the little song. There we go. Have you ever had a headache?
Yeah, I've had a headache. I have a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old. I have
two.
I haven't ever gotten like migraines or anything like that, but I've had headaches. I've had periods where my head is sore.
Okay, not a debilitating headache here where you're double vision,
I've never had anything like that. I mean, when I've gotten sick before, sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'll get a headache from that, but usually it's like, pop some Tylenol and I'm good to go.
Sounds good.
Ooh, did I just like name brand Tylenol? Are we going to get sued for that?
No, we'll get sponsored.
Acetaminophen.
Yes. Brings us to our first sponsor, Tylenol.
Yeah.
For all your headache needs.
While you're listening to this podcast, if you need it.
Man whose headaches made
can I
him.
Just say, sorry, this is off topic.
Yeah.
But can I just say, I always thought that Mario should be a spokesperson, like Mario from Super Mario Brothers
yeah.
should be a spokesperson
I'm
for
familiar.
Tylenol.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify what
sure.
Mario was talking, not Mario Batali or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I always thought that Mario should be a spokesperson for Tylenol because he's running around all day pounding his head on things. Like,
yeah.
you know, of course, at the end of the day, Mario's going to have a headache. It's Tylenol.
Absolutely.
It seems like
a
match made in heaven.
It's a Mario.
Yeah, he's a Tylenol. And now we've offended Super Mario Brothers, the entire nation of Italy, the corporation that makes Tylenol. Yeah, we're on a great run.
Oh, here we go. Back to my story here. Right. Man whose headaches made him vomit.
Yikes.
Had tapeworm in brain for 10 years.
Oh, my God. This is so gross. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, tapeworm can grow in your brain? I thought that was like an intestinal thing.
Evidently for this guy.
Oh, my God. That is so terrifying.
Yeah. Headaches were so painful, they made him vomit. Health problems. And has found out that tapeworm lodged in his brain for 10 years. So he'd been feeling off.
No kidding.
And he fainted playing football this past year. So he had an MRI. Sure. And they discovered a tapeworm in his brain.
Could they get it out?
They did do surgery and removed it. And he had a pretty instantaneous recovery.
Oh my God. so gross.
Doctors think the tapeworm had been growing since the man... ate undercooked pork in Mexico about a decade ago.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like undercooked pork just about anywhere. decent chance.
You know, I came across this article today, and earlier this week I made like a pork stir fry for the week too. Uh-huh. And I'm like, maybe I'll throw it back on the oven here
Let's
for a little bit longer.
Make
sure. Yeah. Let's get that temperature back up. I don't want any brain tapeworms.
Sure. Yeah. That's really gross.
That is very, very gross, yeah.
So it caused a headache and caused him to vomit.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't send him to the hospital? He didn't, like, go to the hospital until he fainted?
Yeah, I guess. Or he probably went to the doctor, but did not necessarily get an MRI scan.
Uh-huh.
You know, and some people, you know, don't underestimate. People sometimes live in pain and suffering for a very long time.
No argument with that.
Without seeking proper medical advice. Sometimes you just want to live.
And it just might turn out that you have a tapeworm growing in your brain.
Absolutely. Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, in certain regions of the country...
I wasn't offering.
This is from the doctor. In certain regions of the country, like Texas and California...
Excellent.
This can be more common. So,
here
we are. And it can come from eating...
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Right? Everything, yes. Our tapeworms are bigger. Eating raw or undercooked beef or pork is the primary risk.
Sure. You got to make sure it reaches that minimum internal temperature.
Uh-huh.
Which I think for pork is surprisingly high. It's like...
It's like 160.
Is it only 160? Because it's like 165 for the chicken breast.
Uh-huh.
Is it just 160?
It is just 160. I did check.
That's good.
And most people with tapeworm infections have no symptoms or only mild symptoms. So you could have a brain tapeworm right now.
Thank you for that nightmare. That.
And our listeners could too.
I'll be sending you my therapist's bill for...
It does have a twist ending.
Oh. The tapeworm came out and did a little song and dance.
Yes. A tapeworm has also been found in his sister's brain years earlier. So this
family
just may be vegetarian. Like, let's just... Or at least invest in a meat thermometer.
Right.
Like, you need to...
Someone needs to help these people out. Poor souls.
Yeah. Maybe some people are more...
Does this guy live in Texas? I know I said it's more common in Texas and California. Is this guy... He got it potentially while in Mexico.
The surgeon was in Austin, Texas.
Okay. So it was removed in Austin, Texas.
He does have a Spanish name, so... Who knows?
People with Spanish names live all over the place.
Yeah. And certainly including Texas.
J-Lo lives in Miami.
Or maybe she does. I don't know.
Why not?
She lives from the Bronx. That's her song. Not just Jenny... I'm just Jenny from the Bronx.
Jenny from the Bronx?
Yeah, don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. That's our song. Yeah. I'm still Jenny from the Bronx.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. This is great. This is quality podcasting.
It is. Yeah. She's 50 years old. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have not have guessed.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I mean, it makes sense, though, because she was like...
Yeah, she was around when I was like in high school.
Yeah, and
that was
even,
25 years ago, so...
Yeah,
so there you go.
So even if she was like 20 then, that puts her at 45.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let me do the math. Checks out.
I'm just saying, when I think about it, it's not surprising. But at first glance, I was like, all right. Sometimes I forget that I'm as old as I am. You know.
Me too.
In my head, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still like, 22.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
That is definitely not. Yeah, I usually think that in terms of, whatever.
In spite of the surprising lack of facial hair and general baby face features,
In spite of the... Thinning hair, the gray and the beard.
Yeah. I know it might come as a shock.
I still feel young. Yeah. All right, let's move on to some of our main stuff tonight.
All right.
So one of the things most churches are trying to figure out is how to attract new people. That's a thing. Every church is figuring those things out.
How do we bring other people to experience this great stuff we've got?
Yeah. And I'd say most churches, when it comes to thinking about new people, they think of young families.
Why not?
That's who...
vibrant children's ministry.
A lot of programming is built.
Bible schools,
To bring in young families.
That's where the spiritual gems are.
Yeah.
That was a terrible sentence. I'm sorry.
All right. So this is an article from Patheos, which we've used before.
We have.
Yeah. So they will be definitely a progressive religious online publication.
Okay.
That's not just Christian. They have insights or are authors from every spectrum of belief, including atheism.
Ooh,
right. And so, but they have, I'd say, are founded probably by Christians.
Okay.
With trying to be brought up. So Patheos.
Yeah,
I gotcha. Yes.
Patheos.
All right, so a vital growing church has lots of young families, and a church in Minnesota wants to be that kind of congregation. So it is kicking out its current long-term members who are over the age of 60. This is the first line of this article.
Wow. Kicking out its long-term members over 60. Okay.
Yeah, this is pretty inflammatory already, right? How do you feel?
I'm unimpressed, but I'm interested to hear what's going on here.
Yeah, so a couple of publications have picked up this article. I've read about this in Christianity Today, including the Washington Post.
Yeah,
so
this is a Methodist church, from what I read.
It is a Methodist church.
Not that all Methodist churches want to get rid of people who are over 60, but this
that is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Cottage Grove Methodist Church, which
name.
Is
that
in Cottage Grove,
sense.
Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
There you go. The Methodist denomination, I guess, has given them $250,000 to hire a church consultant and to rebrand their ministry. So this is part of this is a church plant from a larger congregation.
Okay.
So
there's a big congregation.
Yes.
They've got a church plant off here in Cottage Grove.
Correct.
Which is some distance away from the main.
About 15 minutes. 15
minutes.
15
minute
drive.
Place.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they brought in a consultant to help this church plant?
Yes, because it's had dwindling numbers, an aging population. They average around 30 people on Sunday mornings.
How long have they been there?
I have no idea. Don't have that.
Okay.
And so what they've asked is to shut down this church for several months, and then they want to reopen it, rebrand it, reopen it, and they've asked their older population, it was a predominantly aging demographic who was attending there, to stay away for 15 to 18 months, and the church would open within that 15 to 18 months. So
the idea
is
that they're basically doing like an overhaul of this congregation.
Correct.
And they don't want any old people to be a part of that overhaul.
Yes.
Because young families are weirded out by older adults.
Well, I think they have probably a traditional worship style.
Sure.
They have maybe a traditional facilities or things that look more churchy, and they want to reinvigorate the building, redo the way they're going to do worship.
No problem
with
any of that.
Yeah.
All those good things.
Yeah.
But they want, after that period is done, where they've redone whatever they're going to do in the space, they figured out what the worship is, they're going to reopen, and they're going to say, but you please stay away.
Correct.
Herein lies...
This is the question,
Well, not even the question, the issue. Right?
Sure.
This is the problem.
This is weird, right? This is kind of an interesting strategy to just ask your population to who's older, just like, hey, can you guys leave and maybe come back in a year and a half?
Yeah.
And maybe not. You know, like, that's a long time to be away.
Well, so here's my question. If this is their main demographic...
Yes.
I mean, granted, they're getting $250,000. So they're getting a grant to do this work on behalf of the larger church, is my assumption. Because I'm guessing the Methodist church doesn't have a foothold in this particular community. And so this is why they want to invest in this community. I mean, that would be my way of justifying that work. So $250,000. But besides that, I mean, if you're doing a building renovation, if you're doing any sort of staffing changes, $250,000 is not going to go that far.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
I mean, you're going to go through that real quick. So.
Sure. Especially if you're hiring a church consultant.
Yeah. So who exactly are they expecting to fund this project if the people that have previously been a part of this congregation are told to stay away?
Well, they're asking those people to still fund the congregation.
Oh, okay. So we're now saying, please go somewhere else, but still send us your money.
Yeah, so...
this is getting...
One of the older members said this in the Duluth News Times.
Duluth News.
Yeah.
I like it.
The aging membership has asked to continue maintaining the church until it reopens without them. And this is from William Gatstetter here.
That's a fun name.
Yeah, that's really fun. They want us to mow the lawn, shovel the snow, still support financially, as if anyone would do that. This whole plan makes me sick. I believe it's evil. That's what William has to say.
This plan seems...
Yeah.
This plan seems very corporately conceived.
Correct. I would agree.
And not pastorally considered. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, so there are a lot of ways in which the church does function as a corporation and has to make corporate decisions, and I honor that and respect that. But those corporate decisions need to be balanced with a pastoral understanding of the people you are serving.
Correct.
And it does not sound like we have a very strong... Yeah. Like, sure, I mean, there is a lot of evidence that it is easier to start a brand new church with brand new people than it is to transform an existing congregation.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you think of the existing congregation as a large ship, right? You know, Titanic, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Titanic might be the wrong metaphor. A large ship of some sort. It takes a lot of energy and time to get that ship to turn, even just a little bit.
Yeah.
Titanic now being the appropriate metaphor.
Sure.
And a new small vessel can adapt very quickly and can be something completely different. It can become a plane if that's what you mm-hmm. need. If you're now suddenly in a different setting and you don't need a boat. So I get that it is easier to start a new church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this is a very faithful step for people who have been supporting this and living their ministry for a long time. I mean, this would essentially be like me going to my parents and grandparents and being like, you know, I really just feel like our family needs to really focus on the future and do something different. So I don't want to see you for the next 18 to 24 months,
mm-hmm.
But please still feel free to send me birthday cards and send my kids money and things
yes.
like that. But we don't want to see you because we're trying to get a youthful vibe. And that feels... icky, right?
It does.
I'm not the only one who thinks
that. No, I don't think so. You are. I'm sure us and plenty of our listeners are going to be on the same page.
Yeah.
I think it's weird, especially, but it also is complex. You have an aging population. Your church is worshiping 30 people on a Sunday morning.
Sure.
What can you do? You know, like, there's not a lot that can be done necessarily by just maintaining the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand the desire, the need, and the want to change, to readapt, to try to meet the needs of your community that may have changed and shifted over the years and say, what can we do differently? But I think to leave behind your members in that goal, that's where it gets icky and frustrating and tough.
Like,
yeah.
Intentionally so.
Yes, very much
like
so.
It's one thing to come in and say, you know, the Lutheran Church has a process for revitalizing a congregation. I should say more specifically, the ELCA has a process.
Yes.
I don't know what other other Lutheran denominations might have. But they come in, and at least as it used to function, there's a grant process, so there's some money awarded. And then the pastor is assigned who has specific training in redevelopment and helping revitalize a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And intentionally, members of the community are brought in, even if they're not currently members of the congregation, members of the community are brought in to be a part of the conversation of what does this community
mm-hmm.
need and how can the church be a vital part of that. And then ultimately what happens, this is what I think is the funniest part, is that you have the church council, it was kind of like reformed with members of the community and members of the church, and the pastor gets as many votes as the church council has plus one. So basically the pastor has veto power to say, this is what we're going to do. Because there are going to be times when an aging demographic, or any demographic, right, just regardless of what age you are, a demographic that has held on to a particular way of doing things is going to resist a necessary change.
You bet.
And so there are times when you just need to say, this is what we have to do in order to be
mm-hmm.
faithful to God's call. And so
yeah.
they kind of give pastors that permission. But it's also done in a way that says... you use this as kind of a last resort.
Yes.
The intention is to bring people along and let them be a part of this
mm-hmm.
transition. And it seems like they've gone straight to, well, you're not going to be a part of this.
Yeah.
You're no longer needed here, so we're just going to do this without you, but please fork over the money.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, the money part's really the icky thing. It's like, well.
Yeah, the senior pastor there at the Church of the Dual Congregation says, we have asked...
Church of the Dual Congregation. It sounds like a great... like church name. Where do you go? I go to the Church of the Dual Congregation.
We're asking them to let this happen. For this to be truly new, we can't have the core group of 30 people. But I do think that this is...
I don't know the whole story.
Yeah. And then I'm sure there's some inflammatory language
sure.
in this of fanning the flames of, isn't this weird? Isn't this bad? And so maybe the Methodist Church, maybe the pastor, maybe the new consultant coming in. Maybe they have the best of intentions. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
But I do think what they're doing is not the right way about this.
My question would be, have they given those people a chance to be a part of something new?
Yeah.
I mean, if they've tried to do something new and those people have just resisted at every turn,
mm-hmm.
then this might be where they're at.
Yeah.
Like, this might be that you're either at, we close our doors or we do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that might be where they are. But if they haven't given those people a chance to be a part of something new, then I feel like we're missing a key component of
yeah.
the story of grace and the
well,
story of
You bet. Jesus. And I think this leads to a larger conversation about kind of church functions or the Christian faith is within church structure. Is sometimes we have to ask these questions of like, well, what do we pursue? What are we putting our chips on the table for to work with an established community that's already here, or attracting new people which may mean we have to change what's already here.
Mm-hmm.
And every church has to go through some tension, I'm sure, between these two things of what that looks like. And sometimes it's hard to know at the time what's the best decision or how do you do that the best possible way.
Sure.
And I'm sure even Lord of Life, the church we both work at, has had to have some of these same conversations.
And we'll have to have them in the future. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so to look at your older population to say, we want to do things differently that maybe you're not going to be completely on board with, to just say, well, can you just go somewhere else then?
Mm-hmm.
Still give us the money and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't think honors the wisdom of the population that came before.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're saying an older generation is kind of holding the church hostage with its financial giving or its attendance and saying, like, we won't be a part of something new to attract new people, that's also equally dangerous for the congregation.
Yeah.
And also a place that can lead to a lot of bad things for for the faith community.
Right.
Where now the pastor or the staff is kind of handcuffed by the traditions of the past as they seek to try to bring in new people.
Mm-hmm.
And churches typically like new people, but they like new people who are exactly like them.
Yeah.
Because that's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've thought about this a lot in my years of ministry, and I think there's a sign of spiritual maturity that we overlook.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those signs is your personal ability and willingness to come to worship not for yourself. Right,
yeah.
That you're willing to participate in a community, knowing that it might not always be what quote unquote fills you,
mm-hmm.
But that it is reaching or meaningful to other people who would not otherwise experience
it.
Yeah, I think that's a real sign of spiritual maturity, that you're willing and able to do that, because there does still need to be an opportunity for people to be filled in the way that they need to be filled. But if you can get yourself to a place where you are filled even by something that is not your style preference, or something that is not your age demographic preference, or whatever that might look like, that's a real sign of spiritual maturity. And it's those kinds of leaders that make it possible for real transformation to happen in a congregation. And if you have a congregation full of people who are not willing to do that, who want to come to a congregation to get what they've always gotten and to get what they like, then they're going to become increasingly isolated from the community around them, especially if you're in a situation where the community around you is shifting dramatically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I 100% on the same page with you, and I think that those things hold congregations in tension,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to say, you know, how to change that big ship, as you're saying, especially when many people in our congregation are saying, yeah, I like the way the ship is going just fine.
Yeah.
You know, like,
why do we need to change?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, we haven't had any icebergs in the past, and now this new leadership is coming in and saying there's icebergs in our future ahead of us.
Yeah,
but we haven't had any in the past. We've been doing all right.
Yep.
You know, so why do we need to change
plus
now?
Plus, we got this, you know, big old thing. We got a big old boat. We can handle a couple icebergs, right?
Sure,
we got all
absolutely.
These different fail safes to prevent it from going down. And
yeah, what's an iceberg these days? Come on. Yeah, as we continue on with this Titanic analogy.
Right,
yes.
We extended that as far as it can go.
Probably.
All right.
Yeah, we'll come back to it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, before the end of the podcast, one of us will be standing at the front going, Jack, I'm flying!
Yes. I'm king of the world!
Yeah.
And we'll be on a door somewhere
right.
in the ocean.
Obviously.
Yeah, there's not enough room for both of us.
Which one of us is going down?
That's the question, yeah.
I'm definitely taking the door.
Sure, for two. There's room for both Jack and Rose on that door. We all
know
it. Yeah. Yeah. But I do think, you know, for us as church members, for us as you listener, as maybe a congregation member, and depending on your demographic, it's how can either new families coming in or our people leadership that wants to attract new families honor an older generation, and also the older generation needs to get on board with something. I'm saying, how can we adjust to be more welcoming to people who may not have the same life experiences, the same traditions, the same understanding as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And both those things, you know, in the healthiest possible way are happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes churches pick which one they're going to do over the other. And
mm-hmm.
so here in this example, Dave picked the outsider, the who could be coming here over who is there.
Yep.
And many, many churches do the opposite. They pick who is there over the, you know, over trying to change or adapt to the changing demographics around them and say, I guess we'll just ride this out.
Yeah.
And eventually our demographics, our population within our church will die out and the church will die.
Yep.
And that's just what it is. But we're just going to say, well, it's too hard to change. Let's just ride this puppy out.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm sure there's plenty of churches that are in that stage now, and maybe they want to change. They're like, I just don't know.
Yeah.
So how, if you're an average everyday member of a congregation, you
mm-hmm.
and I think, you know, are employees of a congregation.
I'm not your average everyday member.
Yes,
year,
absolutely.
But I will put myself in that mindset.
Yes. What can you do, you know, to be adaptable for change?
Sure. I think there's a lot. I think one is monitoring your own spiritual health, right? How are you taking time to be aware of how you're engaged in community, how you're engaged in scripture, how you're engaged in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your spiritual health is not not being managed, then you're not going to be able to have a good sense of the temperature of the room, right? I mean, this is like being a sick parent, right? If you're in the bed keeled over with the flu, it's going to be really hard for you to care for your child who may or may not have a fever, right?
Yeah.
Because you're just not noticing that because your health is so out of whack. And the same thing, right? And so if we're trying to monitor the spiritual health of a group as an individual, I need to make sure my spiritual health is intact. And then I think we need to check ourselves when we start thinking about our preferences for worship.
Mm-hmm.
But not even just for worship. Our preferences for a community that we want to be a part of. I mean, are we intentionally just seeking out a community that feels comfortable? Or are
mm-hmm.
we seeking out a community that challenges us?
Mm-hmm.
Are we seeking out a community that reflects what we've always known, or are we seeking out a community that offers different experiences?
Mm-hmm.
And when someone comes into that community, what's our reaction there?
Yeah.
You know, is our gut reaction to feel like an anxiety at that, or is our gut reaction to feel an energy? And some of this is, you know, introvert, extrovert personality type kind of stuff too. Like I get not all of us are the natural person that's going to walk up and, you know, welcome a stranger at the first sign of that they're there. But there is like an internal clock of how do we feel about that that's
mm-hmm.
deeper than just our tendencies there. And I also think we should be clear, this is something that can affect any person that's a member of a community, regardless of age or demographic.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, young people can be as stuck in the muck about the way they want things
mm-hmm.
to happen as someone who's 60. And a 60-year-old can be as open and willing to change and adapt as, you know, we might imagine a young family might be.
Yes.
Those things can both be reversed. This is not a set in stone situation.
Mm-hmm.
All of us can monitor that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we're painting that light, that's not what we are
intent. That's not our intention, yeah.
But that is, you know, sometimes what we sometimes see, and sometimes that's a generality.
Sure.
But that's definitely not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be just by age. I mean, it could be by ethnicity, it could be by sexuality,
sure.
it could be by economic status.
Yep.
All those things.
Denominational group. Yeah.
Yeah, can be sources of tension, and
mm-hmm.
in a sense of I'm not really sure how to sacrifice what I know for the good of someone else, and
mm-hmm.
so that is tough. But I do hope that this church figures it out. It sounds like they're moving forward with this. I think this is a mistake,
mm-hmm.
Especially now that it's kind of gotten to national media beyond the 30 members that are there.
Right.
I think that hopefully they're reevaluating.
It's beyond the Duluth News Times.
Yes. And saying, okay, well, we have this aging demographic and we want to reach, how can we do both?
Yeah.
And maybe that means how can we create environments that are specifically tailored to a aging demographic? That's
mm-hmm.
And how can we do different ministry that's tailor made for young families? And maybe those things aren't the same ministry.
Right.
Maybe those
yeah.
are not the same church service. Maybe those are not the same events. But how can we do both? I think sometimes gets overlooked because
mm-hmm.
I think they could. I think they could say, we're starting a new worship service. We're starting new small groups.
Yep.
We're starting new community theater. And while we're doing our community action, and while we're doing that, we're still having
yes.
ministry happen to our aging demographic.
Absolutely.
And it may just look different. And maybe that doesn't mean we don't do church on Sunday mornings with that demographic. Maybe it's Sunday nights as we're trying this new thing, but we're still trying to meet your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that by asking them to just like, well, can you just go back to the home congregation, the other place that's 15 minutes away? And maybe we'll see you in 2 years. If you really want to come back, you can give us a call and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I think that just sounds insulting to me.
Uh-huh.
And I would be insulted if I was a member of that congregation.
I'm a little insulted on their behalf.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have another story here for us to take a look at about Pope Francis.
Oh.
Yes. You know him, right?
Yeah, we're old buddies.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
Me and
Papa.
Me and Popey Frank here.
Popey Frankie.
Yep. So he has compared...
I just want to apologize to any of our listeners that might be...
Catholic.
Catholic.
Might be.
I'm really...
Might be popes.
We're sorry. Any former popes?
Current or former?
Anyone that's listening, we're sorry.
Yeah. Pope Francis compares fake news to the snake in the Garden of Eden.
Ooh. Okay.
What do you think about this?
I'm intrigued.
Me too. So he has denounced fake news as evil and has urged journalists to make it their mission to seek for the truth. So he says fake news plays on stereotypes and prejudices and praised efforts to make social media users aware of false reports.
Yeah.
All right. Fake news.
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah. It's bad.
Undeniable.
It's undeniable. Yeah. It's bad. It's hard to... It is hard to get to the bottom of every news story that you see anymore.
Absolutely.
I mean, to be your own personal fact checker is just exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, how many news headlines do you see, let alone, like, even if you're not on Facebook, how many news headlines do you see every day? And if we're now expected to be the ones who go and, like, track down sources for this to be our own personal journalist.
Yeah.
That's... I didn't go to journalism school. I don't have that kind of time. Mm-hmm. I want to find... trusted news sources. And unfortunately, what seems to have happened, at least in the United States, and the Pope is not in the United States, but perhaps this is happening in elsewhere as well. I'm sure the Vatican Daily News has a real handle on this. I don't know, is the Vatican Daily News even a thing? That'd be kind of funny.
Maybe.
Anyway.
I'll start it.
I'll take this on. One of the things that's happened is that everybody is convinced that their news source is credible.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else's is fake. And that is, it's almost seemingly impossible to overcome.
Yeah.
Because if I offer you an article and you say to me, well, I've got these three sources that say that that's not real. And I just say, well, your sources aren't real.
Yeah.
Or, if the reverse happens, like, well, what do we do with that? How do we ever get, other than each of us only trusting the things that we witness with our own two eyes.
Yeah.
How do we get anywhere?
Yeah, I think this speaks to a lot of things. One, I think we are now coming to news individually for affirmation of beliefs instead of information about beliefs.
Point.
Like we're looking for news that already supports our worldview.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for fake news to take hold because if it is supporting what I think is true,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to believe it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then this term fake news has a dual meaning in our culture. So, one, fake news means legitimately, factually incorrect news.
Right.
Like these are news sources that are designed to misinform.
Right.
Like that's the intent behind it. They're making up facts.
We shouldn't even call them news sources.
Yeah.
They are companies that intentionally put out false information.
Yeah, and designed to fan the flames of usually political ideologies
mm-hmm.
through false and fake information. That is fake news.
Yeah, and they exist on all spectrums. Of
absolutely.
The political
lines.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen fake quotes attributed to many, many people on social media or fake news articles that are clearly you should be looking at. I mean, if it's called like patriotnews.eagle.org, I mean, like you might be thinking that may not be the actual news title.
Right.
You know, that may not be the actual website that's...
Sure.
Journalistic integrity is number one on their priority list.
If, however, there is a patriotnews.eagle.org that is legitimate, we're sorry. We're unaware of it. I'll be clear.
Yeah. And at the same time, fake news is also described as news I don't like. And so that makes it equally hard to navigate these waters.
And so I think the Pope's intention, not to put words into the Pope's mouth, which would be God's job, not mine.
Yes.
But I think the Pope's intention is to say that those sources of intentionally falsified information are what he's referring to as being like the snake in the garden.
Yes.
The serpent in the garden, mm-hmm. I think is what he said, right? Yeah. In the sense that it is there intentionally to deceive mm-hmm. and lead astray from truth, right?
Yes.
Because if God had given Adam and Eve a truth, which was, you're going to walk in this garden, you can eat from any tree of the garden, mm-hmm. but don't eat from this one, and I'm going to be with you forever. That was the truth that God offered. And mm-hmm. then the deceiver comes in and leads them away from that and says, no, you can eat this fruit, it'll mm-hmm. be great. And so we're being, in the same way, led away from truth by these false news stories. And so I really appreciate his analogy. I think that's really a cunning, if I may, a cunning way to get at the intention of this. Mm-hmm.
And I think what's also part of that analogy is like, is in the Adam and Eve story, Eve and Adam want to believe it.
Yes.
And so I think that's a big part of the fake news. That's why it's there, is because we want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we say, okay, yeah, that's not true, but things like that are true, or it could be true about my political opponents or enemies, it's very seductive in that way. Adam and Eve want to eat the apple.
Mm-hmm.
They want to believe the lie. And it's the same thing as us. We want to see those things. And so, and now we're seeing, I think, and maybe a bleed over those two things.
Mm-hmm.
There's two aspects of fake news. So obviously fake, or news I just don't like, is now we see more sensationalist headlines,
mm-hmm.
News written with an audience in mind,
yep.
instead of the factual things in mind. And again, we're saying both sides of the political aisle
absolutely
do this.
Fox News does this, CNN does this, MSNBC does this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all over. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is really tough, because it's like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Especially if one of our listeners is listening to Fox News or conservative news for 5 hours a day, and one of our listeners is listening to CNN or more left-leaning news or liberal news 5 hours a day. They're getting completely different worldviews, like fed into them. I think even Barack Obama said a few years ago, those two people are living on two different planets.
Mm.
Like, that they just do not – they do not have the same information. So coming together – to talk about factual information is like an impossibility, right?
Yeah.
Like, where do you even start? You know, you have to
upon a time, conspiracy theories and fake news were Bigfoot,
yes.
alien abductions. Did we or did we not
land
on the moon?
Alien abductions? That's a fact.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Okay. Did we or did we not land on the moon?
We did.
Like, you know, right, yeah, we did. But these were the things.
Yeah.
And then I don't really know when it happened. It seems like it's happened within the last 10 years.
Maybe, I think the advent of social
media.
Maybe
there's a faster progression than that. I don't know. But all of a sudden it's gone to, no, we're going to take this actual story
mm-hmm.
and we're just going to change a couple of really critical details.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the other day I was clicking through a thing and somebody on Facebook that I know put up a thing that said Nancy Pelosi used $15,000 worth of pens to sign the impeachment orders against President Trump. Which just sounds like, how do you even spend $50,000 on? Like, I don't even know where. Now,
sure,
what,
a lot of big
things that are true. Things that are true about that. She used multiple pens to sign it, which is a common practice.
Yes.
Because you can give them away as, you know, things. She did use pens that were not cheap,
mm-hmm.
Right? You know, they're like standard issue for this sort of thing that the government orders as in bulk. So there's this base of a true story that we just end like, well, let's just make it this instead.
Yeah.
Let's just turn these facts around. And the same thing could have been done, you know, in reverse. I, the one that I happened to see happened to take that stance. It easily could have said, oh, President Trump took a $15,000 to sign a whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the stance that this particular article took. So again,
mm-hmm.
this is not a one side or the other. Everybody is guilty of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really difficult to sift your way through it. And
yes.
I think this actually bleeds into our congregational life as well, our faith life as well, because
mm-hmm.
we're taking that same mentality of looking for the information that supports what I already believe,
mm-hmm.
and now we're bringing it to Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
and we're looking for the pieces of scripture or the parts of a sermon or the pieces of a hymn that support what I want to believe, and
yeah.
anything else is fake news.
Yeah.
In some sense, or can be dismissed or can be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can fall guilty of this too. This is not the me claiming what's the word I'm looking for? When you're immune to something.
Yeah.
I'm not immune to it. That's it.
Nailed it.
I'm not immune to it, but it's dangerous.
Absolutely.
It's dangerous. And,
yeah.
it, you know, especially if we're bringing that into the life of the church, if we're unwilling to look at scripture that challenges what we already believe, mm-hmm. or we're unwilling to hear ways in which scripture might challenge what we already believe, we are greatly missing the purpose of Jesus' teachings. Mm-hmm. Because everything that Jesus taught was countercultural to the people he was teaching it to.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know what the solution is. I think that's what's the most difficult part, is I don't know the path back from this. From there's hundreds of thousands of news or things out there. They're all competing for clicks and eyeballs,
yep.
and advertising space. And the only way they're going to get that is through sensationalist headlines, clickbait articles,
mm-hmm.
Picking out their audience, you know, that the news organization is picking who they want to get this news versus we're reporting on the factualities of these things.
Yeah.
I don't know how we come back to that. And I think, you know, this could be topics for future podcasts too, is for me seeing, like, it used to be, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, we were talking about how can our faith inform our political atmosphere.
Yeah.
And now it seems those things have flipped. Is how is my politics informing my faith?
Sure.
My political identity is my primary one, and that informs how I absorb my news, how I talk about Jesus, how I see things come into my world, you know, in my faith life. And I think that makes it incredibly difficult to navigate away. Probably in
yep.
some ways, some of the best ways to handle this is to limit the news we're probably going to get.
Yeah.
And I know some people will say, like, well, then I'm going to be unaware. All the bad stuff is going to be happening.
In some senses, you might be better off.
And I would say, yeah, you're probably – that's probably true in a sense. But I do think for your own faith health and your own mental health, coming to church for an hour a week and watching cable news for 5 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
which is really the influencer in your life? Which is really informing you how to love your neighbor, which is really informing you
yep.
the values on how to raise your children, how to do those things. And again, we're talking every aspect of the political
mm-hmm.
atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a one group or dynamic
nope.
or people that we see as guilty of this. This is all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
except for you and me.
Except for us, obviously.
We're the last two faithful remaining.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Katie. When we said our kid was sick, it's sick with fake news. He's spreading conspiracy theories on Facebook as we speak. It's dangerous. It's out
is.
There.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure the way back. Hopefully, similar to Adam and Eve's way back, it's through redemption in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, hoping for that God to continue to redeem our world and continue to look for ways that those things are happening. Maybe those things happen outside of social media and the news we read.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's our podcast for the week.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Easily the best podcast we've recorded this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But hey, if you enjoyed what you heard today, be sure to let Katie know that you liked it. I'm sorry, Katie. We miss you. We'll
Absolutely.
Be glad to have you back next week. But if you did like what you heard, be sure to share it with friends and family. Let them know the great stuff that you're hearing on Beyond Sunday. Of course, you can find us on the interwebs at www.beyondsundaypodcast.com, on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast, and wherever delightfully manicured podcasts are available. You can find us there.
You bet. And we will do our best to not spread fake news. But sometimes we do. And
sometimes
we have to apologize for those things.
We've done that.
Yeah.
We try to clear it up.
Yeah. Like all of us, we're susceptible to sometimes the news we see.
Yeah.
But this is Beyond Sunday. And we hope you have a great week. We hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl or enjoyed not watching the Super
yeah.
Bowl.
Congratulations to the insert team name
yes.
here on your win. That was great.
That's,
it was a
yeah.
great game.
Yeah. You can visit us at the Beyond Sunday studio. We'll
Absolutely.
Happily have you on.
We'll welcome the team in, yeah.
Yeah, this is the room here we're in is a little small for a complete football team, but we'll make it work.
It's a little small for like three offensive linemen.
All right, well, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday.